week, and we've been spending time with the good brethren here, and we have been able to enjoy a lot of the good people in this community. And I'm going to tell you something. I've had a pretty good reception here. Not just by the brethren, but the people that I've met in this community, and I've been very pleased to be here. I've been able to share in the lives of different individuals and helped to have individuals to have a better life. You know, and as we stop and think about God's Word gives us everything that we need to know about life. I want you to go to a passage with me in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. And I want to look at the few words that are in that verse, because in that verse is a very important message that you and I need to understand about God's Word. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, Peter says, "According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him who hath called us to glory and virtue." Now I want us to notice the words, because a lot of times when we read the Bible, we just kind of look at the whole picture and we don't look at the words that God has placed within that Scripture. Notice here that God is saying that to us, through His knowledge, in other words, through His Word, He has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And so in other words, God is telling us that when we go to the Bible, we can find everything we need to know about living our everyday life. Whether it's being a student in school, whether it's being a husband or a wife, whether it's dealing with our neighbors and the struggles that are there, whether it's being a good employee or a good employer, and whether it's dealing with the topic tonight, and that is how to deal with depression, overcoming depression. God said, everything we need to know is in here. I think that's a pretty important message. And that's a good reason to spend time looking at what it says. Now that doesn't mean we might not have to do some searching and trying to dig around and find out, well, what is the message and how does God tell me to deal with this problem in life? But guys, it's there. That's a promise from God. Now, He not only tells us about life, but He also tells us about godliness. In other words, in the Bible, we can find everything we need to know to go to heaven. And so those are two areas that God tells us that He gives us all things. And so guys, as we study the Word of God, I want to challenge you. We're going to look at some basic principles here tonight, that in my own struggles with depression have helped me immensely. Because as I talk about this topic, I've dealt with it myself. And I know the depths of despair. I know the heartaches and the pain. And right here is what I've used to get through it. Depression is one of the terrible illnesses, struggles, difficulties that comes in our society. Depression is something that a large percentage of the population experiences at some time in their life to varying degrees. Whether they deal with it themselves or they know somebody that deals with it, everybody deals with it in some way. It's a big problem. And it's a painful problem. But it's one that we can deal with. Now I want to make some introductory remarks, because there's some things that you and I really need to understand about depression before we look at some of the basic guidelines within the Word of God. There's some things that we need to know. I'm not here tonight to diagnose. And I'm also not here tonight to do away with good, wise medical or psychiatric doctors that can prescribe good medication to help somebody that is dealing with some serious problems, because depression can come from a lot of different things. Depression can come as a result of bad things that happen, or very difficult things that happen in your life, whether it be the loss of a loved one, whether it be a divorce, whether it be some kind of devastating thing that happens in life. It can come from that. Depression can also come because of sin that's in people's lives. I see a lot of people today that are depressed and discouraged because they've been so involved in sin, it just drug them down. And that's the way sin is. It drags us down. But depression is also something that can be brought on because of things that happen within our body that we cannot control. And so I say that because you need to know that if you come across somebody that's depressed, you better not make judgments on them, and you better not put them down and tell them they're a bad person because they're depressed. Because we're going to know some people, in God's Word, some good people, good faithful people that were dealing with clinical depression. And so do not make judgments. And as we look at this, I want to go to James chapter 5 and verse 14, because there's something here that we need to see as we recognize some of the wonderful advances that we have today in the medical field. A lot of times people look at this context and they look at this verse and they make something mystical out of it. But if you go back to the first century, you can see there is nothing mystical about this verse. The verse simply says this in James 5 and verse 14, "Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord." Now, a lot of people like to take that today and they like to make a big show of this, and they play it as though there is some mystical thing in touching somebody's forehead with oil. You better go back and look at history, and you'll find that that is not what this is talking about. You go back to the first century, and you're going to find that olive oil was one of their major medical uses of the first century. It had a lot of medical uses. They would put it on wounds and use it for different problems. And so as you look at this passage, you need to keep it within its context. Yes, we need to spend time in prayer when somebody is sick. Whether it's depression, whether it's a broken arm, or whatever it is, we need to spend time in prayer. But God's also saying that you and I need to take advantage of the modern medications that we have. That's what they did in that time. And olive oil was one of those medicines that they had for use. And so, as we look at this, I'm not saying in any way, shape, or form that you just need to throw away anything the doctors have said if you're dealing with depression. If they prescribe medicine, I want to tell you something. Take the medicine. Take it faithfully. Don't decide that since you're starting to feel better that you don't need it anymore. I can tell you firsthand that that is probably not the case. That just simply means the medicine is doing its job. Now you need to put some of the practices into place, and maybe in time you'll be able to get off of that medication. So if you need medication, you need to take it and deal with it. Because it's a wonderful thing. The Lord, through James, told you and I that medicine can be a very good thing. And so, with that as a preliminary remark, I think that's very important that we need to understand. And so, as we look at this, I want to begin this evening by looking at the standpoint of if you're on medication or if you're just depressed or know somebody that's depressed. One of the first things that we really need to do is to sit down and figure out, where did my problem begin? You know, if we will go back and look and try to figure out, when did I start having these feelings of depression? Sometimes individuals may be looking at things that happened many years ago. Maybe they've been depressed for many years. Maybe there's things that happened. And so we'll look at that a little bit as we get into this lesson. But if it's something that has come recently, a lot of times we can say, well, you know, I started feeling these down feelings here maybe a week ago or a month ago or 6 months ago. And then you need to try to pinpoint those problems to figure out when it began. Go with me, if you would, to 1 Samuel chapter 18. And this is an instance of where an individual was actually, he was bringing his depression on himself. He was depressed because of his own prideful arrogance. But as we look at this, we can trace this scenario out. In 1 Samuel chapter 18, we see the example of King Saul. And it says in verses 10 and 11, and it came to pass on the morrow that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul, and he prophesied in the midst of the house. And David played with his hand as at other times, and there was a javelin in Saul's hand. And Saul cast the javelin, for he said, I will smite David even to the wall with it. And David avoided out of his presence twice. King Saul was so upset that he wanted to kill David. Now, King Saul really needs to sit down and try to figure out when did this all begin, because as we go back in the text, we find when it began. You can drop back to, verses 1 through 7, and I'm not going to look at all of it, but there, King Saul had sent David and put him in charge of the army. David had gone out, and they won all these battles, and they were having all these great successes, and when David comes into the city, we see this being said in verse 7. And the women answered one another as they played and said, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. Saul was mad. Saul was mad because this young whippersnapper was being attributed to killing tens of thousands of people, and Saul, they was only saying he killed thousands. He was arrogant. He had a pride problem that he needed to deal with. And instead of dealing with that pride problem, he decided to strike out at the one that he was angry at. And so we can see that Saul needed to go back and pinpoint the problem. Now, guys, we also need to understand something else. A lot of times, people so misunderstand mental illness. And that's what depression is, guys. And they stigmatize mental illness as some taboo. Well, just feel sorry for those people, okay? And you make sure that you're not one of those. Because if you are, you're wrong. You know, when I broke my arm here 2 years ago, it looked like a Z. Both bones broken clear through. One had come through the skin. And nobody looked at me and said, you're ignorant and stupid. They may have laughed a little bit because I hit a tree in my four-wheeler. But they didn't just act as if I'm some jinxed individual. They realized that I'd made a mistake and that I broke my arm. But we need to understand that the brain is an intricate organ in the body. And sometimes, whether it's possibly things we did, possibly things that somebody else has done to us, possibly it's because the chemicals get mixed up and we just can't think quite like we used to think. But it's an organ. And if you look down on somebody and you put them in a different category because they're depressed and you say that they're just a bad person, you're wrong and you better be thinking again. They need help. Now let's go and look at Elijah. Because Elijah was, in modern terminology, a psychologist or a psychiatrist will look at Elijah and say that he was suffering from chemical depression in 1 Kings chapter 19. Elijah had been prophesying. He prayed for it to not rain. It didn't rain for 3.5 years. And here we come up to this particular time where everything is culminating. And 450 prophets of Baal, and the other 400 were called to the mountain to offer sacrifices and bring this great completion of this problem. Elijah told him, he said, you go ahead and cry to Baal and have him send fire down and consume your sacrifice. And they prayed all day, they cut themselves, and they cried and screamed and hollered, and no fire. About the time of the evening sacrifice, Elijah said, okay, here we go. He cuts his animal up, puts it on the altar, and cries to God, comes down and consumes the whole thing, the water and everything. And he said, kill all the prophets of Baal. They were all killed, 850. That's a lot of prophets. Elijah had a great victory that day that had been building for over 3.5 years. And then it rained. But in chapter 19, verses 1 through 4, we see what transpired from that great victory. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he'd slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, where belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. Then he came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die. And said, it is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. Elijah, this great prophet of God, this wonderfully strong servant of God that had done so much in his lifetime, is down in the depths of depression and say, God, I want to die. I can't take it any longer. I can't handle this anymore. Is anybody going to say he's an ungodly person? I don't think so. You see, Elijah was a godly man. And he was doing all that he could to serve God. Let me take a side trip here for just a minute. Over my years of preaching, I've dealt with several suicides. And people come to me, and they tell me something like this. So-and-so said that killing is a sin, and so my father or whoever, my loved one, killed themselves, so that means they went to hell. You better go back and read the Bible, that's the killing. That is not true. Some people simply do not understand depression. Some people do not understand that people can get so depressed and so down and have things so mixed up that they can do things that they are not responsible for. And so before anyone goes ahead and makes judgment about somebody that has taken their life out of the depths of despair, believing that they're condemned because of it, better go back and study the Bible a little bit more, and maybe they better understand depression a little bit more. I've seen individuals that were depressed that did things they would never have done before they were depressed. Faithful to God all along. It upsets me immensely. Somebody that professes to be a God-fearing person makes such a judgment. Because it cannot be made. Probably. just because of that does not mean that that individual would be lost. That individual's life before they losing their ability to make rational decisions was an ungodly situation. If they were not right with God, then that's a different situation. But they're not being judged for what they did that they were not responsible for. And sometimes people do things that they're not responsible for. And we need to keep that in mind. So be careful. If you're depressed, if you know somebody that's depressed, the first thing you're going to have to figure out is when did it start? I've suffered from these problems numerous times over the years. I've been so down that I was numb mentally. It took me several years to get to that point. My mind was just numb. I couldn't think properly, but I had to keep going. And it took me about 3 years to climb back out of that hole. All the while, in the midst of that, I was preaching the gospel every single week. I was sitting down with individuals and teaching them the gospel of Jesus Christ and helping them to learn more and to know more about the gospel. During that time, I don't know how many people that I brought to Christ and they were baptized into me. But I was so down, I wanted to die. I felt like Elijah. And I know it hurts. But it doesn't have to go on that way. Before we get into some other things, I want us to point out some things that I looked at all the way through this. One I'll point out again later, but it's the passage in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. You just cannot know how many times I quoted that a day. You cannot know unless you're in the depths of that despair how much it meant to hear those words in my mind over and over and over again. And then to feel like I'm making a little progress and then find myself right back in those feelings. And then reminding myself over again about that verse and then maybe feel like I'm making a little progress and then right back in those feelings. Not a fun time. We need to understand the power of the Lord and the power of those words. Understanding also Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, which says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to them who are the called according to His purpose." At the time, going through those struggles and those difficulties, I didn't really understand that too well, but I counted on it and I trusted it. And I quoted that passage to myself just about as often as I did the other. And you know what, since that time, I have met so many people that were depressed. So many people that were hurting and struggling with the struggles of life. Because I understood how they felt, I knew their pain, I've been able to help a lot of people have some encouragement and to go forward. Guys, you need to look at your pain. Look at what God has to say. And then get up and go forward 100 times a day if you need to. Because what God says works. He's there for us. After we've pinpointed whatever the problem is, and you know what, that problem could be many things. You know, it could be a person. A lot of times there's people problems. Okay? There's issues with people that we just clash. We get on each other's nerves, and sometimes people will do something to us that really hurts. And it cuts us to the quick. And I'll tell you what, I know those things are difficult. I guarantee you, everybody here has been hurt by a person somewhere in their lifetime, and they understand the pain of dealing with that. And so, God gives us some good advice that I'll tell you what, it makes a difference. Go with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 18, and let's look at a passage. Matthew chapter 18, starting in verse 15. Because in this passage, we see a major help in helping us to keep from getting depressed. And then if we find ourselves depressed because of a person in a problem, then we can follow that and begin our way onto the healing process. In Matthew 18, starting in verse 15, says, "Moreover, thy brother shall trespass against thee. Go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother." You notice what it's saying here? What's the first thing we think about doing when we have a problem with a brother? We go tell somebody else, isn't it? We stew about it for a little while, and then we go tell somebody else. And what does that do about a problem? Does that help our problem to get better? Ain't no way. In fact, it makes our problem even worse. Because here we get somebody to side with us, and they're going to choose our side because we told our half. But that isn't going to help things, because that did not solve our problem. You see, God is in this passage giving us some good, sound instruction to help to keep ourselves from getting under. Cass, if you've got problems with somebody, if they've hurt your feelings, if they've done something to you to really bring you down, to hurt you, whatever, if they've been mean to you, go and tell them. Just you and them. Talk to them. You know, over the years, I've seen this work so many times. I've had individuals get into my face. I've had individuals do things to me. I've had individuals hurt me in different ways. And when I have followed this and gone back to them and sit down and worked it out, talked to them about it, it's amazing how much good it does. That major burden on my shoulder is taken off. And then I'm happy. Now, quite frankly, that happiness, I mean, yeah, here I've been down, I've been unsettled about it a little bit, and so I'm not just instantly greatly happy, but it takes the burden off my shoulder, and then I kind of heal and I go forward, and it works better. You see, God is giving us some good, sound wisdom to deal with it. We need to talk to them. And we need to remember some of the guidelines that God gives us in Ephesians chapter 4. Because this passage, it helps us to see that there are ways in which we better be going about that telling. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 15, it says, "But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ." Notice here that God is saying and giving us some advice on when we're going to talk to somebody about a problem. God, just speak the truth in love. Truth and love. "A soft answer turneth away wrath, and grievous words stir up anger." Proverbs 15:1. That's an amazing passage. If I come to somebody and I get in their face and I'm kind of hot-headed about it, what are they going to do? They're going to blow back up in mine. But if I go to them in a loving way and cautiously, carefully speak the truth to them, it will make all the difference, guys. It really will. And it'll keep us from getting in depths of depression. Chapter, verse 25, it says, "Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another." What do we do a lot of times when we're upset with somebody? They come to us and say something wrong. They say, "Oh, everything's fine. Everything's fine." Did we just tell them a lie? We sure didn't follow that passage, did we? You know, we just sit and stew in our juices. That ain't helping. Okay? What happens to the chicken when it stews and it's juicing? It gets cooked. And if you and I sit stewing or juices, we're going to cook and we're going to get down in the depths of depression. We're going to sink to the bottom of the pot, guys. If you've got people problems, go to the person that you have problems. What about a thing? And I say a thing because a lot of times things are not things that happen aren't an individual causing it. Maybe an individual was involved in it, but there's things that happen in our life that get us down. Maybe monetary problems. Maybe a loss of a job. Man, in our society, have we not dealt with a lot of loss of jobs? I'm in Newton, Iowa. You remember the brand name Maytag? We lost thousands of jobs in a town of 15,000 people. And guys, there's a lot of people hurting. Marriages that I'm trying to save. People that get on drugs because they don't know where to turn. They steal because they're trying to make ends meet. A lot of people out there hurting. If it's a thing, I think we need to look kind of what Jesus did in Mark chapter 14, verses 33 and 34. Mark chapter 14, verses 33 and 34. Now notice, this is Jesus. And if you notice in this situation, He is not on top of the world, guys. Jesus Christ. And He taketh with Him Peter and James and John and began to be sore amazed and to be very heavy. That's just talking about the great heaviness and the discouragement that's on Jesus' heart. The terrible burden that He's carrying. And it says in verse 34, and He saith to him, My soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. You don't think He felt probably worse than Elijah? I'm going to tell you something, guys. Jesus was at the depths of depression. He knew what was coming. He knew about the pain. He knew about the beatings. He knew about the rejection. He knew about the cross and the pain that He would undergo on the cross. And He was very, very sorrowful. Usually things aren't quite that bad. But you know what? A lot of times the things that come along in our life are solvable. And so if there is a problem in your life that is weighing you down, that is something that you can go and take care of, you just need to do it. A lot of problems are solvable. But a lot of times because of fear, a lot of times because of maybe we've been rejected before in a certain situation, we just say, well, you know, there's just nothing I can do about it, so what I do is I sit around and mope about it. That's not a real good point. You know, that passage in Psalms, it says, This is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Many days people come to me and say, How are you doing today? And I say, I'm doing great. Some of those days I don't feel great. My wife would testify to this. She knows. She gets that she's there and she says, What's wrong? What's happening? What's been going on in your life? Why are you upset? Why are you upset? You know, if there is a thing going on in your life that you can take care of, guys, you just need to do it, okay? And you might need to go out and find some wise individual that you could talk to about this problem and find a way to solve it. It doesn't matter if it's money problems, if it's job problems, if it's family problems, a lot of times there are things that you can do to solve those problems. Be very careful when you go out and seek advice. Because everybody will give you advice, and usually the ones that give you the most advice are the people that have no clue what they're talking about. Dealing with a difficult situation in my hometown where there's a marriage that is breaking up. And it seems that one of the members of the family, the marriage, have been going to those that have been divorced numerous times, and they're giving them advice about what they ought to be doing. So you can kind of tell how things are going in that relationship right now. Instead of coming to someone that has been successful in marriage and has a good marriage and saying, what can I do about this situation? And so it doesn't matter if you're dealing with financial problems, go to somebody that is successful in financial dealings. And sit down with them and explain your problem to them and say, what do you see that I can do to change my situation? Financial IQ is pretty low in our society. And I'll tell you what, you want to hurt a marriage, bring in money problems. Because often you've got two people that have no clue in how to manage your money. And so it doesn't matter what the problem is. You just look at it. If it's a thing, guys, figure out the way to solve it. And if it is, solve it. The next thing we want to look at is is it your own selfish pride? A lot of times, guys, we just got a pride problem. We just get kind of haughty and high and mighty, and then something happens and our feelings get hurt, and we just sit around and sulk about it. And the problem is, after we sulked about it a little while, we have a tendency to start getting further and further down, and then we can get to the point where we're so down, we don't know what's going on. Why are we this way? Go with me, if you would, to Leviticus chapter 26. Leviticus chapter 26, and I want to look at a few verses there, starting in verse 18. Leviticus chapter 26, starting in verse 18, it says, and if you will not yet for all this hearken to me, then I will punish you seven times more for your sins. I will break the pride of your power, and I will make your heaven as iron and your earth as brass, and your streets shall be spent in vain, for your land shall not yield your increase, neither shall the trees of the land yield their fruits. And if you walk contrary to me, and will not hearken unto me, I will bring seven times more plagues upon you according to your sins. You notice that God was saying because of their pride, He was going to bring them down. And you know what? That's a recurring theme. Now let me say this, and don't misunderstand me. If you've got a pride problem, you're going to get discouraged. And that's real good. That's real good, guys. Because you can't go to heaven with pride. And so as you look and strive to figure out what is it that caused this, if you go back in your mind and you try to pinpoint when all of these things begin, and you think about these things that have led up to it, if you find that you have a pride problem in your life, you're going to have to make some changes. You better swallow your pride, because it's making you miserable. And it's your fault. In my years of the depths of depression, I never blamed anybody else for my problems. But I can tell you that
that there was some exterior things that brought me down. But I never one time
blamed anybody else
because I was depressed. I never one time blamed anybody else because my mind was so numb and I couldn't climb out of that terrible pit. But I did. I'm out of that pit.
You know, normally as you look at, Isaac's law of whatever it is, for every action there is an opposite but equal reaction. You know, when I try to help people who've been dealing with depression or things such as this, a lot of times I find that, and it happened in my case, and I accepted this because I understood this aspect of the problem, that if it took several years to get to this point, it's probably going to take several years to get back to where you need to be. Every action has an opposite but equal reaction. And I can tell you one thing today. When I start to feel myself getting down, I get on top of it right now. Because I don't want to be a long time coming out. Because it's not in focus. Terrible weight of the mind. It hinders you from being effective and productive and happy in your life. I want to be happy. I don't care if somebody has hurt me. I don't care if there's outside struggles. And if it's my foolish pride, I'm going to do my best to push off to it, because I don't want to be unhappy. Because in the years that I was depressed, it was very hard to help anybody, and I wanted help. Quoting that verse to myself, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to them who are called according to His purpose. I found out over the years that I had something to help others with, and I wanted to be help others. And you know what? When I'm down in the depths, my life as a Christian soon helping others. And I can't help them if I'm down there.
If you've got pride in your life, get rid of it. This next one. Can be difficult too, but is also doable. Sometimes the things that have brought us down, they're unsolvable. We can't go back and undo what has been done.
My years, I've talked to many people that have been hurt. Men and women that have suffered as young children. Hurts that they should have never suffered. Adults that have struggled with things that they can't go to that individual that has hurt them and have any kind of recourse or get any kind of I'm sorry out of them. And they have to carry that. Guys, if there's something in your life that is weighing heavy on your heart that you can't go back and undo, that you cannot get an I'm sorry from the individual that has treated you wrong. There's still recourse. There's still help. There's still healing. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and I want to begin reading in verse 6. The Apostle Paul, in dealing with some struggle that he had, we do not know exactly what it was, but we do know in the text that he had to continue to bear under that struggle. It was going to stay. He said this, "For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think above me above that which he seeth me to be or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations that was given to me, a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." Guys, we have no clue what that is. We speculate. And that's interesting. But we do not know. We don't know if that was abuse as a child. We don't know if that was the stoning that he received. We don't know if that was the beatings. We don't know if it was false brethren. We do not know what happened with this thorn in the flesh. But the application is there for whatever your problem is. The same thing works. He continues. Verse 8, "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said to me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." Did you see what that is? The Lord told Paul that his grace was sufficient for him. And then he comes back and he said that his strength is made perfect in our weaknesses. You may not be able to resolve some crisis, but there is recourse. He continues, "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then am I strong." There have been things in my life that I couldn't resolve. Things where I was upset at individuals for what they had done. And I can remember as a child, a young teenager, wanting to seek revenge. Thinking that for a long time. Until I read passages like this and I understood some things you just got to give to God. Because you see, when you and I trust in His strength to get us through, then we are strong. We've got the help we need. Now guys, that trust takes time. And I dare say that many people in our society are dealing from things that they cannot resolve. Things that cannot be undone. Things that cannot be taken back, and the memories will remain. But God is just simply saying to put it on His shoulders. And let Him have it. Take the struggles and the difficulties that you've been through and help others that are having the same problems. Take those struggles and difficulties that you've been through and give it to God and get yourself up and go out and help other people. I tell you what, I think through my years of depression that one of the best things that helped me was that I continued to go out and
and do my best to help others when all I wanted to do was die. I wanted to give it up. I wanted to cash it in. I didn't want to go on. But I followed these guidelines. And over time, I was able to give it to God. But guys, it didn't happen overnight. It was a slow process. If you or somebody you know is struggling with depression, do not expect them to change overnight and to automatically feel better. That is so upsetting when people say, well, I talked to them and they felt like they was okay when I left, and why are they upset now? They should be over it now. Well, get a life. You're going to have to understand it. Don't change that quick. Be patient. Be loving. Be ready to go the long haul to help them through this long process. And be patient with yourself. Depression does not have to be the end. Looking at it from this side, it's the beginning. It's the beginning of a good life that you can go forward and live it full. Help others who are dealing with the same problems. You're going to have to give it to God. Hebrews 11 and verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You see, faith is so important. It's so necessary that we have that faith in our lives because it helps us to have confidence in the praises or the blessings that God gives us, the promises that He's given us in the Scriptures. They're true and they're real. But you're going to have to spend time in God's Word so you can have that faith. So many times people just get kind of a good feeling about God and they figure they've got it wrapped up and they go on. Before long, you know what happens, they're back in the depths because they really don't have that faith, they just have a nice fuzzy feeling. A nice fuzzy feeling didn't go after God. Kind of like that nice fuzzy kitten turns into a big cat. First Peter chapter 5, verses 6 and 7 says this, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God that He may exalt you in due time. Now let's look at that verse for just a couple minutes. Humbling yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Guys, that means getting into words changing your life. We need to do that. Notice that in the verse he says, that He may exalt you in due time. See, it's a condition of salvation also, to humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. But it also goes with some of the causes of depression, pride. Saul had pride problems. Notice verse 7. Casting all your care on Him, for He careth for you. God cares when you're hurting, guys. You see, Jesus felt depression when He went to the cross. When He prayed in that garden, He knows how you feel. And He wants you to feel better. And what He's saying is, you need to cast your cares on His shoulders. You need to let Him know what's wrong and give it to Him. You pinpointed the problem. Now what? If the feelings come back, remember the verse, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. We call that stick-to-itiveness. When those feelings of depression come back, as they did a lot of times, and within 5 seconds is the time that I thought I was feeling a little better. Stick to it. Go back and do it again. You know, few problems that cause depression are overcome instantly. Another thing that we need to understand is prayer. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, it says, be careful or worried about nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. You know what happens a lot of times when we get depressed? We quit praying. Because we just don't feel like it. That's the wrong thing to do. We go to our Father in prayer and we let Him know what's on our heart and what's hurting us and how we feel about it. And we plead with Him and beg of Him, please help me through this problem. Show me what I need to do and help me to have the strength to do it. Give me wisdom to be able to deal with it, guys. God, that's what we need to do. Talk to God about it. Spend time in prayer. Talk to a friend. Now, I want to give you some advice here real quick. You better make sure your friend knows how to keep their big mouth shut. If they can't keep their big mouth shut, don't talk to them. And I want to tell you also something. That if a friend ever comes to you with their problem, keep your big mouth shut. Nobody else needs to know. An individual come to me just a few weeks ago. They wanted to die. They were talking to me about ways that they could end their life, about the problems that they were having. Somebody else called me about them. I didn't tell them. It wasn't my place. I didn't go tell other people about them. That individual. I know you're telling you. You don't have any idea who he is. Where is he at? Where does he live? Somewhere in this world. You see, I didn't go talk about his problems. So that others would know. Keep your big mouth shut. Be there to help. And not hurt. And then spend devotion time with God. The biggest problem that people have is they don't put in what they need to solve their problem. They think, kind of like the lady that I dealt with not too long ago, she was leaving her husband. He said, can you just sit down with me and pray it and let him tell us and help us to see some of the mistakes we've made? She said, God ain't done nothing for me up to this point. I'm not going to have anything to do with him now. She hadn't had anything to do with God the whole time. Right here's the answer, guys, to your problem. It may involve you changing some things in your life. But it's worth it to not be depressed. Because I hate being depressed. It's terrible. It's been a lot of time this evening, and I know I've gone over, and I apologize. This is such an important subject. Guys, greater problem than depression is your soul. Depression, it don't last for so long. Your soul, it goes on forever. The Lord tells us in the Scriptures what we need to do to make sure that our soul is in a right relationship with God. So if we come to that point of death, we know that we're going to have a better place and not a worse place. He tells us and talks in Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And we've already talked about studying the Bible, didn't we? People don't even know what God says in this society. No wonder they're hurting. No wonder we have broken families. No wonder we have broken homes. They don't look to see what it's all about here. No wonder we've got so many problems. Because they're not looking at the handbook. You need to study the Bible. Notice that studying the Bible brings faith to the individual, but without faith it is impossible to please Him in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. And you need that faith. You've got to have it to please God. But He also says, you know what, when you read the Bible and you study it, you find out that, oh no, I haven't been doing that. I should have not done that. I'm going to have to change. And that's what God calls repentance. Jesus said, I tell you nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. The And that simply means that here I'm doing things that are not pleasing to God. I read the Bible and I find out that's wrong. So what I do is I turn around and I start doing the things that are pleasing to God. I want my soul in a right relationship. We see also that Jesus says that whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven, in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 32. We've got to confess Christ as the Son of God. And then we're buried with Christ in baptism for the remission of our sins, in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. But then after we do that, then we have the requirement that we will go forward and live for God and put Him first in our life. Guys, if there's anybody here this evening that would need to respond to the invitation, we ask that you do it now while we stand and while we sing.